إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, as I have said many times before, Islam is the name of a practice. Islam is not simply the name of a theology or some philosophy. Islam is the name of a practice. And like all practices, it helps you only if you practice it. Knowing about Islam is necessary to practice it. But without practicing, if we simply know about Islam and we do not practice it, then it does not help us. And that is why we have to look at our own lives and see what is it that I need to do as far as Islam is concerned to bring my life in line with the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why the importance of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the sunnah is the implementation of the orders. It is a demonstration of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hukum is to be obeyed, what one must do. And this applies across the board to everything that we do, whether it is to do with worship, or it is to do with our dealings with people, or it is to do with different things we do in our lives, whether it's marriages, or it's the raising of children, or education, or running a country, whatever it might be. The life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so comprehensive and comprises of so many different roles that you can probably quite safely say that there is no other person in the world who actually performed all of these roles to a level of excellence in his own life. So if you give the example of somebody, say for example, you say my example of a great business leader is Jack Welch. While that may be true, one might debate that as well because of various things, but point is, even if that is true, well, you say, well, should I also look at Jack Welch with regard to his family life? And you might say, well, no, that part leave it alone, you know, that's his private thing. Not a very successful person as far as his family life is concerned. Similarly with other people. I mean, you might look at somebody and say, you might say, well, you know, I take my parents, for example, excellent example to see as far as family life is concerned. But now I am in charge of this entire state which I have to run. Can I look at my father for guidance with regard to how to run a state? Well, obviously not, because he never ran a state. So how will I find examples of how to run a state in his life? So this is the reality of almost everyone, where you can look at their lives for an example of in one aspect of your life, but not in another aspect of your life. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life is the only life in which you can find answers to any question in your life. You want to look at family life? See the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want to say, how must I behave in adversity when I am in difficulties? Look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You might say, well, now I have plenty, I've got money and position and authority and so on and so on. How must I behave? Look at the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am a businessman, what must I do? Look at the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am an administrator of a state, what must I do? Look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How must I bring up children? How must I get married? How much? Whatever you might have. I am traveling, I've got some people traveling with me, my traveling companions. How must I behave with them? Look at the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In every aspect of your life, the example is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I say this quite openly and quite frankly, that this is true irrespective of whether you are a Muslim or not. The life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an example for anybody. You don't need to be a Muslim to look at the life of Rasulullah. For us as Muslims, not only should we look at it, but it's also part of deen to learn from the life of Rasulullah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. He said, the best example for you is the example, the Uswa Hasana of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, for us, there is an added advantage. But even if you were not a Muslim, or if you wanted to say to other people who are not Muslim, they say, what is a good example for me to look at? You say, look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether you are a Muslim or not, doesn't matter. Now, in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what the Sahaba did. The Sahaba used to observe him very, very closely. They used to write down things about his life, about the smallest details of his life, and they would follow them. They would teach each other. The son of Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu says that our father used to gather us together as a family, and he would talk to us about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to say, these are the ghazwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what he did in this place, and so on and so on. This is how the hadith also were transmitted, because it was people who were following them and who were telling each other and who were reminding each other in every situation. People would say, well, this is how he would eat, this is how he would drink, this kind of food he liked, this he didn't like, and so on. And that's how hadiths were recorded and they were transmitted also. So now if you look at the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what a Sahaba did. This is what we also should do, because we are also the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So our point also should be, let me live my life in a way that is according to the Sunnah and Seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now if you look at the life of the Sahaba and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the most important things that they did was that they changed the company which they kept when they became Muslim. So they, obviously before they came to Islam, they had a whole group of friends and so on and so forth. They had people they dealt with and all that. But when they came to Islam, they changed that mix. They still did business with people who were, not Muslim and so forth. So that part of it was fine. But in terms of their social life, in terms of whose house you went to and what did you do and, what kind of... Now, this is something which they changed. And not that they rejected everyone who was not Muslim. And that's, I'm not recommending that also. One must have friends who are not Muslim. Because if you don't have friends who are not Muslim, how will you present Islam to them? So even from the perspective of purely presenting Islam, one must have friends who are not Muslim. One must mix with them. One must invite them home. Invite them to your masajid, to your madaris. One of the, this is on a side note, but one of the problems that we are facing today is because of an overdose of this secretiveness in our lives. We have become used to living in inside a cocoon, and that has two major dangers. One is that it's an echo chamber, so you are only hearing your voice. You don't know what the world is saying. And the second thing is that people can't see your reality. So therefore, then they are subject to creating stereotypes, and they are subject to all kinds of propaganda because they have nothing else to compare it against. So we must be open, we must invite people home, we must go there, we must invite them to our masajid, madaris and so on. Let them see Islam as it is. And that also will help us to clean up our own act, because our act needs to be cleaned up. Today we are in a state where if you invite somebody to your masjid and if he wants to go to the toilet, then you will see the reality of the masjid. In most places, if you invite them to a madrasa, you see that place, it's not something to be proud of. We have just basic cleanliness we don't have. Now, all of this will go if you invite people, because then you will be forced to clean up your act and make things to a standard. So, I'm not talking about that we must do. But I'm talking about the influence in people's lives. The influence in the lives of the Sahaba were other Sahaba. They were not people who were disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were not people who were all over the place. They were people who were obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were people who were on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These were the influences in the lives of the Sahaba. When the children of the Sahaba were growing up, who did they look up to? They looked up to their friends of their fathers and mothers. Who were they? there were other Sahaba and Sahabiyat, right? So if you look at the legends in the home, if you look at the stories that people told each other, these are the kinds of stories that people told each other. There was a project I wanted to do, which didn't really get off the ground, but it's still worth doing, is the stories that are told in the different communities in our society. For example, you say the Marwadis are a business community. What does it mean? Why are they a business community? Why is the world not full of Marwadi physicians and cardiologists? There are people, but if you say Marwadi, you're thinking business community, right? If you say Sikhs, then you say, well, military people. I have friends, Sikh friends who are fourth generation in the army. Right? So, why is that? If you think about Maimans, for example, business community. Why? I mean, they don't have dollars running in their blood. The thing is that in the raising of children, what are the kinds of stories that do the rounds in the homes? That becomes the orientation of the child. Because throughout his life, from the time he was a little kid, he's hearing the stories of this deal my grandfather did, and that is the deal my uncle did, and this is the deal that so-and-so did, and this is what happened, and that's what happened. So the whole talk is about doing deals and dealing with money and, lending, borrowing, and so on and so forth. So his whole orientation is towards business. Second thing is that when that little kid wants to do something in a business line, he is encouraged because people know this. It's nothing new, right? In a military family, if a child says, I want to go to NDA, of course you have to go to NDA. My father went to NDA, grandfather went to NDA, right? So the orientation is that way. Now, if you take the lives of the Sahaba, what were the stories they were hearing? Who were the role models that they were following? Who were the people they were looking up to? And that's why the company you keep facilitates the kind of behavior, the kind of behavioral change that you want to bring about in your own life. The company you keep is an absolutely critical mix, which either facilitates a behavioral change or it retards it. So you may have all these good intentions. I must wake up for tahajjud, I must go to the masjid for fajr. And then in the company you keep, you go to a wedding which starts at 8 o'clock in the evening and finishes at 5 o'clock in the morning. Where is tahajjud? Where is fajr? Whereas if you went to a wedding according to the Sharia, it takes all of half an hour. Right? The whole thing is finished in half an hour, 45 minutes, khalas. So the question is, what kind of company do we keep? And that is today I remind myself and you, let us think about this. And then let us change that mix. Believe me, it doesn't matter, it doesn't make any difference if you change your friends. Some will like you, some won't like you. Whichever mix you have, I always say this, nobody loses friends. You just change them. You just change them, right? Instead of sitting in the masjid here and talking about Allah, if I was sitting in a bar and talking about Johnny Walker, I would still have friends. It would be a different mix of friends. No? I mean, you can do that. So, where is the question of losing friends? I'll lose you guys, but I'll get somebody else. And from there, if I shift and come here, I lose them, I get you. The thing to ask is, what kind of friends are useful for me? What kind of friends are good for me? It's not a question of friends. You'll have any whatever you do, you'll have friends. So, let us think about that and say, in my life, what are the kinds of friends I should have? What are the kinds of role models I must have? Who must I hang out with? Because that is, as they say, you are the product of the five people around you. So count those five people. Who are the five people around you? That's who you are. You want to know somebody? See, look at his friends. That's the key. So alhamdulillah, if we focus on this inshallah, then we will be on the right path. We ask Allah to keep us on the right path, which is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallam, and enable us to do that which is pleasing to him and not something which displeases him. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.